Greetings. You're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 Minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 359944, in Westminster, Colorado 80035. Phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John chapter 1, verse 42, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible states that Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C as in Charles, E as in Erna, P as in Paul, H as in Hans, A as in Alpha, and S as in Sam. The reason I have to bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if listeners have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something that's like a mold or womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child, but it has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program is about exposing the matrix, the something that is inside the matrix, or the listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that's inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself, not like any other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I will get to that in this broadcast. These next two broadcasts will be about his past. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I had to go back in history, and the previous programs are all about the history of the church and what is going on today in the U.S. as far as the Pope is concerned, how he's suddenly coming out politically, and it'll show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping that he will be an acting savior. Even though his message is about worldly issues like climate change, global warming, poverty, and tolerance. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently that Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam, in spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version. The prophet describes what God told him. This is a summary. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men. God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O flesh, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." Following is an expose of Pope Francis I.
Released 5 months later, they were just dispatched in some suburb of Buenos Aires. They'd been tortured, and one of the priests actually accused Francis, Pope Francis, previously provincial, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, of having handed them over to the death squads alongside these 6 members of their parish who were killed. And there's ample evidence to the fact that he was responsible for these actions. He had a very close, as I said, he's a very close link with the military, and he consulted with the military, and he didn't take a position against the military. There was another important aspect, is that they, and that what came out in the testimony of Jorge Videla subsequently after his arrest in the 1980s, he said, "We would always consult with the Catholic Church before we arrested members of the clergy." Okay? We would always consult, and we would get the green light from them, so that there was a collaboration. It wasn't simply, you know, we took these people and then then members of the hierarchy would say, "No, you shouldn't." No, they actually said, "Yes, we arrested members of the clergy, we tortured them, we disappeared them, but we always consulted with the Catholic hierarchy as to how to do this, and particularly when it was members of their clergy." So it was always a person who was responsible. So if it with regard to the 2 Jesuits who were kidnapped by the death squads, the understanding is that this was something he knew about. And the lawyer who launched the lawsuit, Miriam Bregman, said that Bergoglio's own statements proved that church officials knew from early on that the junta was torturing and killing its citizens, and yet publicly endorsed the dictators. And she said, essentially, the dictators could not have operated this way without this key support.
Well, this is fascinating, specifically because of the timing at which this comes. And for those who don't know, there's the largest mass trial yet in the case of Operation Condor. In the last few weeks, there's been the beginning of a mass trial of 24 Argentinians and 1 Uruguayan in relation to those atrocities 3 decades ago. And now we have, at this precise moment, the appointment of the first ever Pope from the Americas in the history of the Catholic Church. Why is this happening right now, and how does this augur for the future of the Catholic Church?
Well, this has been something which has been ongoing for the last 20 years. The survivors of the dirty war have taken action, particularly in Argentina, because Argentina was really the mainstay of this dirty war and Operation Condor. But I should give a background to this. The United States Secretary of State Henry Kissinger played a behind the scenes role, not only in the military coups in Argentina, but also in Chile. And that's fairly well known. When the coup was implemented in 1976 in Argentina, Kissinger's top deputy on Latin America, William Rogers, told him a few days after the coup, he said, "We've got to expect a fair amount of repression, probably a good deal of blood in Argentina before too long." But in effect, also, Emilio Massera, who was responsible for implementing Operation Condor in Argentina, that is the admiral, he took his instructions from Washington. He acknowledges this. He was trained at the School of the Americas. He was very close to the U.S. military, and he set up the interrogation and torture center at the Naval School of Mechanics, which is in a suburb of Buenos Aires. It was a sophisticated, multi-purpose establishment. It was there to assassinate several thousand so-called enemies of the state. We're talking about something of the order of 30,000, but again, those figures are impossible to verify. Now, we know that Emilio Massera was in fact the mastermind of this dirty war as far as Argentina was concerned, and he was also in close liaison with Washington throughout. He assisted in the development of Plan Condor, which was a collaborative scheme which was led throughout Latin America against leftists or people who opposed U.S. hegemony in Latin America.
Well, then I suppose the other question or the other part of this is, to what extent is this being covered in the mainstream media, and to what extent is the real meat of this story being covered up by the scant reporting we've seen on this so far?
Well, this is a very important question. What I've noticed, at least as far as the Western media is concerned, is that some of this came out immediately following the election by the conclave of the Vatican, that there was mention of that, even in mainstream publications like the Washington Post and the Los Angeles Times. But the more recent, the Vatican then started accusing certain media of defamation. At least that was their official statement, and I noticed that now the media in chorus is presenting Pope Francis as the man of the people, committed to helping the poor, in the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi. He took the name Francis because he said he was an admirer of St. Francis of Assisi, and he's portrayed in the Western media mantra essentially as somebody who's grassroots and committed to social justice. His personal history and his endeavors under the military junta point exactly to the opposite. He was consistently targeting progressive members of the Catholic clergy, as well as those committed human rights activists who were working with Catholic clergymen, and he was also undermining anti-poverty programs implemented by, you know, grassroots organizations, which might be categorized as leftist. There were certainly, at that time, there was in Argentina, a very important leftist tendency. And these were not necessarily